Good to see everybody here this evening as we have another opportunity to gather to worship God and to build up one another in our faith in Him. Although I'm not a native Kentuckian, I have lived here long enough to know that the winter that we have had so far seems to be pretty normal. We've had some snow, we've had maybe a little bit of ice, we've had some cold days, but we've also had some spring-like weather. And if the forecasters are to be believed, that is all about to change in just a matter of the next few hours. In fact, we may be in for 7 to 10 days of snow and wind and bitter cold temperatures. And if the little groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, was right, it may be that way for another 4 or 5 weeks, or perhaps longer, until winter is over. As we go through this season that we know is winter, how do we maintain our spiritual focus when the cold, snowy winter winds are blowing? How do we remain active in the Lord's work when perhaps the winter weather keeps us inside more than some of us would like and keeps us from doing as much as we would like and as being as active as we desire? What we need is what we're going to speak about this evening, a spiritual survivor's guide for the winter season. So tonight we're going to consider 3 spiritual survival tips to help us make it through the rest of this winter, however long or short that is. The winter, of course, as Kevin just read for us, that God has created. These things that we're going to speak of this evening are not deep, but they are very practical and things that I think I forget from time to time, especially during this season of winter. Number one, if we're going to survive the winter, we need to be people who are drawing near to God. I don't know about you, but my mood is somewhat dependent, it seems, upon what season we are in. Winter, for me, for many, many years, has always been a time of reflection. Maybe it is just that things slow down somewhat, that we are inside again more than normal, and we have time to sit and to read and to reflect. And that is good for us to do, and perhaps that's one reason why God created winter. I think this season, more so than any other season, lends itself to reflection, both personal reflection and spiritual reflection. The short days, the long nights, the winter weather keep us indoors more. Winter is a good time for us to reflect upon our lives, for us as Christians to take a spiritual inventory of our life, to reflect upon what it is that really matters most in life. We get so caught up, I know me in the age that I'm in and the stage in life that I'm in, trying to raise a family, not so much concerned about advancing in a career or anything like that, but just all the things that go on in this particular stage of life, we can get so caught up in good things, but things that really don't matter. And I think this season for me gives me time to reflect on what matters most in life and to also draw near to God. Paul said to the church at Corinth, you might remember in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, to a group of people that had all kinds of problems in their life. And they had worked through, it seems, some of those problems and resolved them as a congregation. But he said toward the end of that second letter, to test yourselves, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, to see if you are in the faith, examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test. If we are Christians, Paul is speaking here to Christians. Yes, this church had a multitude of problems, but he described them in the first few verses of the first book as being the church of God at Corinth, as beloved brethren. And if we are Christians, Paul is reminding us that Jesus Christ lives in us. And so if we are Christians, we will not fail the test. But if we test ourselves using the Word of God as the mirror to our soul and a true reflection of who we are, we might see some things that need our attention, some things that perhaps need our immediate attention. So why not use this season of winter to evaluate our walk with God, to evaluate our spiritual standing before God, to evaluate our Christianity, and to develop some kind of a game plan for the rest of the year. Winter is also a good time. Any time is a good time, but winter is especially a good time for us to read and reflect upon God and upon His Word. There are a few things that are said in the Psalms, lots of things, in fact, that are said in the Psalms about our need to reflect upon God's Word. Psalm 119 is just almost every verse something in about our relationship to the Word of God. But I want you to notice several things here in the Psalms with me for just a moment, particularly related to winter. And as we go through this season, and especially this week, some things we can think about perhaps if we have to sit in our houses for a few days, to think about in relation to God and to draw near to Him. Psalm 74, verse 12, beginning. As the psalmist is writing here in the early part of the chapter and looking at his enemies and how they have been against him and thinking about God and kind of thinking to himself, well, maybe God has abandoned me. Why has God withdrawn His hand, verse 11, His right hand? He wants him to destroy his enemies. But notice beginning at verse 12, he talks about God and who God is and the power that God has at His disposal. Verse 12, yet God is my King from of old, who works deeds of deliverance in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea monsters in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You broke open springs and torrents. You dried up ever-flowing streams. Yours is the day. Yours also is the night. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have established all the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter. As we go through this season, and perhaps if we do go through several more weeks of winter and it just seems to drag on and on and on and we want to get to the next season, we need to remember who God is. We need to remember that God is in control of all that exists, the psalmist says, including winter. He has made this season that we are experiencing now. And we also need to remember this in our day of all of the scientific and meteorological experts who think that they can forecast what's coming down the pike, that winter will not be over until God says it's over. He has made summer and winter and spring and fall. And He controls the seasons. Also consider what the psalmist says to us toward the end of the collection of psalms. In Psalm 147, we can think about God and reflect on God and draw near to Him even during this time of winter. Beginning at verse 12, he says, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your sons within you. He makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of the wheat. He sends forth His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth His ice, His fragments. Who can stand before His cold? He sends forth His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters to flow. Remember once again what the psalmist says to us here about God, that as the winds are howling around us this week, as the snow is falling from the sky, remember once again who is behind all of this, that God, the Creator and the Sustainer of life, is behind all of this. And certainly as we think about anything that God has made, but as we consider the winter season, who is it that can stand before His cold? There is none of us who can stand before the Almighty God. And so, we need to be doing what Paul instructs us to do as Christians in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 at this season of the year or any season of the year. We need to be making sure that we're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed. He says we do that by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Although the physical creation at this stage, this season of the year is in hibernation, we as God's creation that have been made in His image and likeness don't have to be. Even if we're cooped up inside our house, we can renew our minds with God's good and acceptable and perfect will that we find here in His book. And so there are lots of practical ways that we can put this particular thought into practice in our life, how we can draw near to God even during this cold winter season. All of us, of course, can sit down and read our Bibles if we're stuck inside. You know, we can read that, not just picking up a printed book, although some of us like to smell the pages of those books. But you can read that on almost any device nowadays. We can listen to the Bible being read to us online, on CD, on our iPods, on our iPads. We can read or listen to scripturally based books or magazines. There are some good publications, some good books that are being written by Christians today. Not the Word of God, not with the authority of the Word of God, but I believe some that I have read and even reading recently are some really good things that Christians are putting out. You can listen to online sermons. There are just a number of good church websites, including our own, but a number of good church websites where you can just sit and listen for hour after hour after hour to good preaching. You can listen to spiritual songs. Last week when, or I guess it was the week before in Florida, I bought a new CD from Narrow Way and some of the old songs on there. And just listen to those and they can really speak to your soul as you can go through the winter season. So if we will draw near to God, we will survive winter with our spirituality intact. Number two, we need to draw near to our family. You know, if we're not careful, winter can be a time for us to withdraw from those that we love the most and those really who need us the most. And so instead, if we work outside the home, especially those of us who are men, but even women that work outside the home, instead of coming home from work and immediately maybe doing what we do every day, and especially when it's cold outside, just plopping ourselves down in the lazy boy or on the sofa and turning on the TV or start playing the Wii or get on our laptop or our iPad for the rest of the day, why not spend some of our time with our family, with our spouse and with our children, and building those relationships? Other times of the year, we may be so busy going and doing other things that are good. Our children may be playing sports or in the band or doing other activities that are outside. We may be working in the fields, and we don't have as much time to spend together as family. Let's take advantage of this season of the year to draw close to one another as family. In Colossians chapter 3, there is an admonition that the Apostle Paul gives to those of us who are husbands. In verse 19 of that chapter, he says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them." As we said just a few moments ago, I don't know how many days we'll spend inside this week, maybe all week. We may be spending a lot more time than normal, kind of cooped up in our houses this week as families. And being so close together, maybe that's good for the first day or two. But if it goes on and on and on, that can kind of lead to some spats with our spouse or irritating one another more than we should. And he says here specifically to husbands, but I think it goes both ways, husbands to wives and wives to husbands. Why not use this time as God intended us to use all time to grow closer together as husbands and wives? Husbands, why not use this time to grow closer to our wives and not be bitter against them? Or wives, to not be bitter against your husbands and to draw near to one another as we draw near to God. We've read a passage like this. I think it was maybe last Sunday night's lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses repeats these instructions several times in the book of Deuteronomy. That's how important they are. Deuteronomy chapter 11, notice what he says to us there at verse 18 beginning. "You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you rise up." As we are doing, hopefully, the first point we talked about a minute ago, as we as parents, as adults, are reading and reflecting on God's Word, we can make good use of the winter time by passing on those truths to our children. We can do that in a variety of ways. We can sit down, maybe if our children are old enough, and have a family Bible study. If our children are old enough to really, for us to have a conversation with them about spiritual things, we can sit down and just have a big spiritual discussion around the dinner table. And as we're doing that, or perhaps it doesn't have to be that formal, but just as we're going about the normal activities of life, as I'm playing with Abigail and Elijah, playing trains, maybe once or twice with a dollhouse, but You know, as I'm sitting down with them, or if we get outside tomorrow and play in the snow, to just remind them of God's principles. And sometimes we've had to do that here recently as they, being so close in age and size, have begun to fuss with each other and fight with each other over things and times that they don't want to obey mommy and daddy. And we have to remind them, especially Abigail, she's memorized some of those scriptures, but we have to say, what does this verse say? And she kind of reluctantly sometimes repeats it back to us. But we can take advantage of this time to do that. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, we know what the wise man says to us there, that we are to train up our children in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from that. During the winter, our children may not be participating in as many other activities as at other times of the year. Why not again use this valuable time in their young lives to train them to walk in the way, to walk in the way of God? Some practical ideas for helping us to draw closer together as a family. We can certainly, again, read God's Word together, talk about spiritual things. We can also read books, maybe watch movies that have a good moral message. Some of you, I think, perhaps have watched the Sherwood Picture Productions. They're the ones that came out with Facing the Giants a number of years ago, Fireproof, the latest movie a few years ago, Courageous. There are some good movies. There's not a whole lot of good movies in our time. But there are a few good movies that still give a good moral message. We can do Bible memory drills with our children. Over the Christmas holidays when we were at John and Jean's house last year and this year, and Anna said that her parents did this with her when she was growing up, her and her brother and sister. But just to have some index cards and ask some Bible questions, and if you get that right, you get a quarter. I think it was a dime for them. But inflation has kicked in, and it's a quarter for their grandkids. And Abigail got several dollars worth that she brought home over Christmas, but to make that fun for them. When we're sitting there and there's nothing good to watch on TV. If we will draw near to our family, we will survive winter with our spirituality intact. Thirdly and finally, we need to remember that spring is coming. In fact, it will be here sooner than you think. This year, the official start of spring is March 20th. That's just 33 days away. A little over a month. Spring is coming. Doesn't that picture look nice? And even before that, maybe what I'm more excited about, 3 weeks from today, the time changes. And Elijah wakes up 6:30 every morning, and you know it's a good hour or so before it gets light. I don't like that too much. I like waking up when you're supposed to wake up, when it's light outside. When God made our world, He, of course, made variety. And He made our world to show us about Himself so that we don't experience the same weather all year long. We don't experience the same season all year long. What would it be like to live in a world where it's always winter? Or as much as some of us like summer or whatever season that you like the best, what would it be to live in a world where it's just the same season all year round? I mean, spring is going to come and the temperatures are going to be warmer and the sun's going to be shining more. And I guarantee you that some of us will still be gathered around the water cooler at work and complaining about the weather. But that is not the God that we serve that has created our world. And so if you have the winter blues, just remember that spring is right around the corner. We can survive whatever the rest of this winter holds for us because we as Christians have hope. We have hope that something better is coming. If we are God's children, we have hope of something that is far better and far greater and far more lasting than spring. We have hope of going home to spend eternity with our God, with our Creator, with our Father. If this winter has brought suffering to your life, if it's brought sickness as it has to almost every family in this church, remember that you and I as Christians have hope. As the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, that after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. We have hope, brothers and sisters, a living hope that promise is going to come true. If this winter has tried your faith just a little more than normal, remember that you have hope, as Paul writes to the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, that in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. If the short days and long nights of winter have brought sadness to your soul, remember you have hope that in heaven there will no longer be any night, as John writes in the Revelation, Revelation 22 and verse 5, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. It will always be light, because God, the light, is there. If we will just remember that an eternal spring is coming one day, we will survive this season of winter with our spirituality intact. Before we know it, winter will be gone, spring will be here. Then spring will fly away in a few days. Summer will arrive. Then summer will quickly pass and fall will appear. But fall will fade away. And it will be winter once again. And we'll be sitting right here in the spot where we are sitting today, if we're still alive and the earth is still standing, to survive another cold, snowy Kentucky winter, with our spirituality intact. If you are a Christian, don't let the winter blues rob you of the inner joy, the inner peace, the inner hope that you have as a child of God. But this evening, if you are not a Christian, don't let today, much less the rest of this season, come and go without becoming His child. There's not a better time. There's not a better season. The Apostle Paul said, writing to Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, that now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time to serve God. Don't put that off any longer if you need to become His child. Number 380, as we close our assembly this evening, reminds us that it won't be very long. It won't be very long till this world is burned up and our judge, Jesus the Christ, returns. And we stand before Him in judgment. And we give an answer to Him for the deeds that we have done in the body that He has made for us, for our soul to inhabit, whether those deeds are good or bad. We don't want to be standing there before Him knowing what He's going to say to us. We want to be His followers. We want to be children of God so that He can be our answer. Are you ready for that time to come? Are you prepared for the judgment if it should come this evening? Think about those thoughts, and if you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord, do so now as we stand and as we sing.